It is the Weed Pro Indians Radio Week presented by EcoTree Service here on AM 930 WEO. All the interviews brought to you by Budweiser, distributed by Maple City Ice. Our Tim Alcorn out in Goodyear, Arizona.
And a guy that you two are used to talking to quite a bit rejoins me here at the table. We started our week by talking with Bobby DiBiasio, and so Bobby's in early this morning. Thought we'd sit down and have a conversation with him again. The Cleveland Indians historian.
I don't know about that, but I hope you're having as good a day as Carl Hubbell did in the 1934 All-Star game, right? That's what we've been chatting about.
Yeah, just a few minutes ago, we were talking about All-Star history and, you know, all that sort of facts and stuff. And I said, you know, there was a pitcher way, way back when that struck out five straight future Hall of Famers. And so we Googled it. Carl Hubbell. Struck out Ruth, Gehrig, Cronin. Now we have to look this up again. All right, real quick, let me find it here. So he struck out in order. Oh boy, this Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox,
right?
Al Simmons and Joe Cronin.
Not a bad day at the ballpark. And then he says, oh, I'm not really a strikeout pitcher. Yeah, I was a ground ball guy. I made him hit the ball, but that's the beauty. I'll tell you, that's why we're so excited to play host to the All-Star game this coming July, all the festivities, a week-long event. We've talked about it before, but it's just remarkable the transformation of that All-Star game just in my career. When 1981, there were five of us on the committee. There was myself, our general manager, Phil Segge, our VP of marketing, Joanne Klonowski, Dan Zerbe, the operations guy, Jerry Waring, the ticket guy. That was it. There was five of us. That batting practice on Monday, All-Star game on a Tuesday, although our game was postponed due to the strike, so we didn't play until August in 1981.
That was the first game following the work stoppage, correct?
Exactly. It welcomed baseball back with about 72,000 people in attendance, the largest All-Star crowd in All-Star game history. Then in 1997, it ballooned to about 25 on the committee. And Curtis is chairing this go-around, and I think there's 40 or so on the committee for this the All-Star Festivities Week. And just going to be so wonderful to have the international spotlight on Cleveland.
Do you have a Carl Hubbell moment, one that really stands out for you as far as your involvement and just different things that you've seen at Progressive and before that?
All-Star game-wise or
just in general?
Well, I would say in my 40 years, you know, it's funny, Timmy, how you get sentimental the older you get, you know, yeah. Isn't that true? And so you think back and, you know, obviously Raja's home run, Sandy Alomar's home run off Mariano Rivera in 97 in game four of the division series, opening day of the ballpark, which I happen to believe is the most significant moment in the franchise history because it changed who we were as a franchise, because that building doesn't get built. We're not in Cleveland, Ohio anymore. But in July of 2001, we were celebrating that whole year, our 100th anniversary. And in July of that year, we brought back as many of the living members of the top 100 roster that we created, the top 100. I think there was 43 gentlemen who were able to make it back to the ballpark for a ceremony. And as we took the picture before the start of the game, put risers out behind second base and short center field. And
wow.
As a kid from Lakewood, Ohio, I looked at those 40. I would say, I could honestly say 37 of them were good friends. And at that, you know, to me, when you just think back of the relationships you built over the course of four decades in this business, that stands out as one of the Carl Hubbell moments in my career. Because all the achievements on the field, how do you rate Sandy's homer, which won the game, propelled us to a game five, which we ended up winning. Then we go on and beat Baltimore to go to the World Series. Raja's homer is one of the most incredible goosebump moments you could ever experience. Again, the opening of that ballpark with Wayne Kirby, getting the game-winning ribby in extra innings, and all the incredible things that have happened inside that ballpark. You know, they pile up on each other, but so I go to that sentimental day.
And wasn't there an interesting backstory there with former President Clinton and Grover? And
yeah.
As far
well,
as
yeah, well, I President Clinton, we were chatting because I happened to get the duty of escorting him out to pitcher's mound, which was obviously an incredible honor, and we were underneath in the batting cages in the secure area, and we were chatting, and he was nervous that he was going to bounce the ball into home plate, as everybody who throws a ceremonial first pitch, that's the one thing they don't want to do. They want to throw a strike. So I said, would you like to warm up? And, you know, I said, you know, sir, you have a jacket, an Indians dugout jacket that you're going to wear. You better put it on because you have to practice like you play. So put it on and play catch. So here I am ordering the president, hey, put on your jacket and get into the batting cage. And now I have to find somebody to play catch with him. And Andy Hargrove, Mike's son, I think, was 13 at the time, and he was in a uniform. So I'm thinking there's photographers around. I was like, this is the picture, a young kid in an Indians uniform playing catch with the president. That picture's going everywhere. And Andy, I said, Andy, get in the cage and play catch with the president. He looks at me and he goes, nah. I was like, what do you mean, no? He goes, nah. And I'm like, oh, my God. So Ryan Newman, Jeff Newman's son, Jeff was our third base coach, was right. 15 years old, and I just kicked him because the president's sitting there playing catch, he's a lefty, putting the ball in his glove, and I was like, Ryan, get in there and play catch with. And he jumped in there for the chance to play catch with the president. So that was fun, and Sharon Hargrove still kicks me that I didn't force her son to play catch with the president of the United States.
Yeah. Awesome story.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And that's what makes baseball special.
Well, it is. You know, I know it's trite, but wins and losses, no question, is what sparks and ignites everything that we're about. But in the end, Indians baseball has to be about more than just wins and losses, because we've been around, you know, professional baseball has been around in the city of Cleveland since 3 years after the Civil War ended. And so we're pretty much cemented as of the fabric of the community.
Right.
So we have to be about more. Again, wins and losses is what sparks everything we do, and we want to win so badly and win a World Series. But I think the connecting of generations, the memories we create, it's got to be more. And the stories we shared this morning, I think, are indicative of that.
No doubt. All right, I know you got other people to talk
to. Thank you, buddy.
Always fun. Bobby D, and of course you'll hear him throughout the Indian season with Craig and Bruce. They chat once a week, I believe, on Monday morning, so that'll be coming up once the season starts. But, guys, that is what makes baseball special, just that storytelling as far as just things we've all experienced. So, of course, our interviews here in Goodyear brought to you by Budweiser, distributed locally by Maple City Ice.